Elections the last 2 days, and there is no queen in these. And if there was, she got eaten by the martins or didn't make it. Oh my God, there's a queen. And she just flew away. There she goes. She comes back. And, can you believe it? I had it marked on it. Now, that was not the queen that was born in here. I have marked on here Black Beauty, meaning she was really, really dark. That virgin just flew away. Was not the virgin that hatched, but there was a virgin in here. And while I was in there, she flew off. She did a little loop, and I, of course, had a phrase. She'll probably come back. And look at him fanning. I don't know if you can see this. This is them saying, come back home, mama. Come back home. Come back home. They got their butts in the air. They're fanning with Nazanoff. Okay. You got to love real time. Well, hey, everybody. It's Chuck. Welcome back. I've got a few things I want to go over. Look at all this stuff I've got on my table. A few things I want to go over as part of this journey in my apiary here with queen rearing and everything else I'm doing during spring buildup here in Zone 9B. I live in Jacksonville, Florida, for those of you that maybe are new to the channel. If you are new to the channel, click subscribe and like down there. I'm trying to grow this channel a little bit, but beekeepers are an interesting group to get to click that subscribe button, I'm learning to find out. Listen, I'm not in this for the money. I'm in this for the reach, so it's not about ads or anything like that, but it is about sharing the knowledge of beekeeping, especially down here in the South in Zone 9B. And for those of you up north, maybe just getting a sneak peek as to what's coming. Anyway, look at what I've got on my table here today. Where are we going to start? Let's start with the smokers. So I've got a little pet peeve I've got with my smokers. And I bet every single one of you that's used a smoker for more than 2 years has this pet peeve. And I've got a couple of them. It's about, you know, what do you do with your smoker after you're done, but you don't want to burn through all of your fuel? And typically what I'll do is I'll be out there in the yard, I'll load this up, I'll get my smoker lit, and then I'll just walk away, and the smoker burns for another 4 hours if I packed it well, or another hour. I went to a process of getting a stick, and I stuck a stick in there, and this actually works pretty well. You find a stick that's just the right size, it's got a little nub on the end, and it kind of closes off the air. And when you come back, you'll have a little bit of smoker fuel left in there. Works great. I've got another stick here that I used to use, nice and big. But what I found is with these sticks is I'd leave them way over there. And then when I'm done, I'd walk away and I'd never put the stick in there. And then I thought, well, I guess I could tie a string to it. And I tied a string to it and it dangled down here and the stick was in the way. And then I used the wrong kind of string because it melted, because it was nylon. Anyway, I've come up with a new idea I'm gonna try, and so far I'm happy with it. And if you can see this one over here, I've already doing it. It's a cork with a tiny little light, a wire, and this wire is actually the exact same wire I wire up my my frames when you have foundationless frames with wire, or even wire with wax foundation. It's very light gauge stainless steel wire. It's just twisted on here. And I took a cork. These are real corks. I'm guessing a fake cork might work, but they're a little plasticky. So maybe just stick with real cork if you've got them from a bottle of champagne or wine or something like that. And I just pushed this wire through there and twisted it around. And I made the wire just long enough to go from here to here. And then it kind of dangles. And as you might say, well, that looks like it's in the way also. It's not as much as in the way as this is. And also, this little cork can just be tucked back there. And because it's wire, it won't melt. And it's always with me. And then you just stick it in the top when you're done. And voila. So you're going to see me run around the apiary with both of my smokers with the equivalent. And you see the tall smoker needs a little bit of a longer wire, but it's just, and so far I've been using it. You can see a little bit of soot on there, but the heat definitely doesn't hurt this natural cork. So yeah, I just took a cork and I took a knife or razor blade and just shaved it down, you know, because these openings aren't really perfect circles. So you kind of got to decide what shape to get. Anyway, let me know what you think about that idea. I thought a lot about what to do here. I even thought about 3D printing something, but you'd have to use the right type of plastic and it doesn't have the same give as this cork. So I think the cork is a better idea. The only thing I'm worried about is with enough force, you might be able to rip this wire through the cork. Right now it feels very snug, but over time, if this breaks, my guess is it's gonna be the wire ripping out of that cork. Like if it was stuck down here and I walked away and I pulled on it by accident, I bet it would rip through that. So if there was an improvement, it might be about how to secure the wire to the top of the cork that might resist a tugging force. Anyway, enough on the smoker. Hopefully you enjoyed that. But just to kind of give you an up-close look, that's kind of what it looks like. Okay, let's put the smokers aside. That is done. What else have I got up here to talk to you about? Okay, let's move on to queen rearing. Oh no, I got another idea. I had a follower out there. Sorry, I don't remember your name, but you made a comment that when I talked about these solo plastic cup mite washes, right? You know, I showed you on a previous video. If you didn't see that video and you want to know what I'm talking about, I showed you how I melt the holes in the bottom of the solo cup to let the mites go through into a Dawn washing solution. But when I was doing that experiment, I was ripping the lid off and the lid tore right on the edge. And I made a comment on the video, these things might be a little bit the weak link here because they'll kind of crack and rip. The only purpose for the lid is so that when you euthanize the live bees and swirl, they're not flying out. You have a little bit of a lid. It's not really that critical to the actual mite wash other than till the bees get in there. But this viewer said, hey, go get some of that rubber flex seal that you see on TV and spray the heck out of that thing to give it some more rigidity. So I did that. And this is what I use. I had it in my shed, so I didn't go buy it. It's just the rubber flex leak stopper. I think it's for gutters and boats. That TV ad where the guy, seals the bottom of a boat and drives his, anyway, that it's that product that people use. It's kind of spray rubber is what it is. So I took this solo cup lid and I put out a piece of plastic and I sprayed the heck out of it with two or three coats. It dries for another coat in about 10 or 15 minutes. And you might see, I did the top, not the bottom, because I didn't want the actual rim to get any smaller in diameter. So I just sprayed the top. So it's got this white kind of rubber coat on it. And honestly, it does feel like it's going to be a little bit more durable. I don't know, but I just want to give a shout out that, hey, listen, I listened to your comments. And if you give me a good idea, I'm going to do it. And even give you a little bit of a shout out that was a good idea. So maybe a little bit of an improvement to the solo cup methodology. If you find the lids ripping and you got some of this around, I don't know that I'd go buy a can of this just to improve that. I mean, these are pennies and this is not cheap probably for the whole can, but if you got some of this in your shed, you could probably even paint it on if you had the liquid paint kind. Give that a try. Nice improvement there. So I like that. The next one is to talk a little bit about my queen rearing status. I took you over right over here last time to my mating nuke area, and I walked you through, I showed you some queens, you even caught me, one of those virgins flew away and I was able to catch her and put her back into the right hive. Well, most all of the queens from that first batch of grafts on March 14th are now laying. But the hatch rate was very high, the mating rate was proportionally lower. So I have a lot of mating nukes right next to each other, which is a product of the number of queens I'm trying to rear and the space where I'm trying to put them. I recognize I have them too tight. This is just the flaw of my setup. They should be spread out so that when a queen goes mates and orients, she comes back, she knows exactly where she's going, or maybe she has to choose between two hives, not 18 like I have set over there. I've tried to use color, and the color helps a little bit, no doubt about it. But my mating success rate, I don't know, I'm going to say it was like 60%, 65% of those that hatched. So like a little more than half of the queens came back and got mated. So over here in my mating nukes that are behind you, the three framers, I've got four that need queens. And over here in the mini mating nukes, I've got another three or four or five that I sold a couple queens already, but I've been swapping queens around. And just so you know, what I do to keep these mini mating nukes going, because there's not much space in there, if I get one where the queen doesn't come back mated, or maybe she didn't even hatch, but you know, a sister nuke right next to it, it's got a laying queen and she's brooding up well, I don't want that one without a queen to go kind of abscond or laying workers or anything like that. So occasionally I'll take a frame of eggs out of a good one and move it into one that didn't have a queen. So they've got some brood pheromones and some things to do to work on while I wait on perhaps the next round of cells to come out. That kind of keeps them contained and building. Now, granted, they prefer to have a queen, and sometimes in these small little mini mating nukes, they'll just kind of drift away when there's not a queen or a virgin in there to take care of. But I use equalization is probably the right word to take eggs and move them around. Now, my technique for where I put eggs in these mini mating nukes that are queenless, I always put it in the same spot. And I've been using the middle frame of the three frames, because when I come back in a day or two, no matter what notes I have on there, if I see eggs, I don't want to get confused and go, oh wait, maybe I do have a queen. So I write on the top, you know, placed eggs in middle. So when I come back to this box, I'll remember, oh, the middle frame has got eggs that I brought from another hive. There isn't a queen in here. And I'll check the frames on the other sides for egg laying evidence to make sure there isn't a queen. So anyway, I've got three frame mating nukes back here that need queens, and I've got mini mating nukes that are waiting on cells, but some of these minis have queens. But the place for these queens in the minis is in the three framers, not in these minis long term. And long term is weeks. Granted, I want to get them laying, but I don't want these three framers behind you to go queenless for too long and wait on a cell. So I'd rather have the mated queens in the three framers and then try to keep these little inexpensive resource nucleus colonies together and then get the new cells in there. We're going to go into the apiary towards the end of this video, so stick with me if you're into this sort of journey. We're going to take some cells out of my cell finisher. They should be capped today. It was in a hive that I've never used before as a finisher, so I don't know the success rate I'm going to get out of it. It had an old red queen, and I say old, meaning she was red dot, which means she's 2 years old. So in my opinion, that hive needs to be requeened also, so I don't know the pheromone profile she's got, so I don't know if they're really gonna be gangbusters. I would like to take one of these blue queens that I've got mated in this round and actually re-queen that red hive probably today or tomorrow. So what I'm saying there is we're gonna move some queens. And in moving some queens, I wanna tell you how I'm gonna do it before I show you how I do it. I 3D print these cages that are modeled after the Easy Peasy brand. So I'm not gonna tell you how to make these. I'm not gonna send you the 3D file, because I blatantly re-engineered and copied with my own design an idea that someone else had in the beekeeping community. If you want these, go look at his website, Easy Peasy. Hey, and if you're an engineer or know how to use computer-aided design with 3D printer, design your own, that's fine. But I'm not gonna sell or make money or give away a product that someone else is trying to make a living off of. So please don't ask me for this file. But I did design this myself. I looked at his pictures and I designed it with even some improvements. I'm actually now using transparent 3D printing film, which compared to the black and the white I'm using when I'm looking for queens, even though it's not translucent, it's kind of transparent. I can see so much easier in this transparent PETG that I'm using now. I really like it. And these are my introduction cups I designed. And essentially all they are is a cap that fits into the top of this cage, and it's got an introduction hole in it that will allow the bees from the outside to eat in and the bees from the inside to eat out. And I fill my caps with queen candy that I make, and I keep queen candy in an old Talente cup. I have a little piece of plastic in here to kind of to mash down on it to keep it from drying out. This stuff can last a long time if you keep it in the right condition. But the most important thing is when you're getting ready to use it, feel it. It needs to feel like Play-Doh. Not gooey and wet, but Play-Doh-y consistency. Because if it's too soft and too much liquid, when you put it in a 95 degree hive, it'll melt and ooze out. So you've got to have enough sugar with your honey, corn syrup, or inverted syrup, whichever you choose to use, to maintain its consistency. So I essentially just take this queen candy, I push it in here. I don't pack it. If you pack it in here and this does dry out, it will turn into rock candy. But that's back to the consistency point I was making earlier. If you get the right consistency, it's pliable enough, the bees will be able to get it. So I'm just packing these cages up ahead of time so they're full. Matter of fact, that one even had some candy in it that felt a little hard. So I'm gonna start over with that. I'm just pushing it back out with a little bit of a paintbrush. We're gonna get to this paintbrush in a minute. That's something else we're gonna talk about. So I'm just scraping out some old. It was a little bit dry and I think it was exposed to the air. And then I'll repack it with some more. So I'm gonna do four of these just for demonstration purposes. I've got like four or five queens I need to move today. And this of course is hoping they're all still over there in the minis. But the way I get them ready, now that cup is charged up, I put the caps in there so I know they're all ready to go. And I'm going to quickly do this and we'll be on our way. Hey, I really appreciate the comments you guys are giving me. I can't tell you. I can tell when someone has a lot of experience and they're taking the time to make a long comment to share knowledge. Listen, I may be a master beekeeper in the state of Florida, but I am by no means a master of beekeeping. That is simply an academic qualification that means I've shown some aptitude and I've put in some work and some writing and some mentorship and some teaching, but gosh, I've got a lot to learn. And I think a good example is that demarai that failed for me this year. That was the first time I'd ever done a demarai and it didn't go well. My mistake was leaving for work and not being home on the day I needed to check for queen cells at the 7-day point. I checked at the 4-day point and got all I could see, but I obviously missed some. Anyway, just a little comment on that. Okay, so now I've got 4 queen cages with cups made up and ready to go, and I'm going to push this plastic back down on my queen candy and reseal that. There's lots of formulas on the internet for this. I'm not going to bother giving you one because they're all basically the same. You've got to kind of pour your liquid, whether it be honey, Karo syrup, which is corn syrup, or your own inverted sugar syrup, into powdered sugar and mix it up to the right consistency. Every time I've tried it with my own measurements, I've always had to either add more sugar or add more of the liquid to get it right. So just kind of start with a cup. Well, it doesn't even matter because if you're going to make a whole bunch of this, you need a lot more. So just, it's more sugar than liquid. So start slow with the liquid is my only tip there. Okay, so these are ready. They'll go in my bee jacket in my pocket as we're getting ready to go to cage the queens up. Add some queens and workers in here and then reintroduce these in the cage. I will give one more tip. If you've got a situation where you don't want the queen to be introduced quickly, you put a piece of tape on top of this. I think this is a Bob Benny video. He's talked about this a lot. You just put a piece of tape and then you put a little pinhole in it because the bees can eat through the tape as long as they got a pinhole to start with. And then it'll add about a day and a half to the speed they can get to this because obviously with the pinhole through the tape, the majority of the bees on the outside have to get through the tape before they can start eating the sugar. It adds some time. That can be helpful if you've got a hive that you want to do a slow release because maybe it's hot, maybe they just lost their queen and they've still got the pheromone profile in the hive. A lot of different reasons you might want to go slow. That is the queen cages and we'll do that in the apiary later. But along the lines of another subject, along the lines of my queens being able to find my hives, my dirt rooster mug. I've got it painted orange, blue, yellow, green, purple. And you notice I didn't say red. Bees cannot see red. According to scientific documentation, essentially the cones and the rods in the back of the human eye, the equivalent in the compound eye of a honeybee, what they use to perceive color, and this has been proven through scientific experimentation, they cannot see red. Which is why a lot of commercial beekeepers, when they're loading their pallets at night, you'll see them with red lights on. If you ever see Ian Stepler going through his winter indoor air conditioned or heated cooler room where he's keeping his bees all winter long, he walks around with a red light on his head. That's the reason, it's because the bees can't see it and they won't go to the light, much like an insect goes to the sun or a light. If you've ever seen a moth or mosquitoes or even bees go to your spotlights at night, the red light helps that. So they can't see red, so there's no reason to paint a mini mating nuc red. Even though we may have red flowers in nature, they can't see red. I shouldn't say they can't see it, but it comes across to them as black. So imagine you were completely colorblind and you just saw grays and blacks and that's kind of what a bee is to red. Now, they can see these colors coming to the left of red, and when I say to the left of red, I maybe have it backwards. It would be to the right of red if you're looking at the color spectrum with red being on the left and ultraviolet being on the right. As you come over to the oranges and the yellows, they can start to see those very, very well. And then the deeper colors and the greens and the blues and the purples, they have a very good vision of the different shades of purple, much more than us. And then they can go into the ultraviolet spectrum, which humans cannot see without the aid of kind of simulated seeing a black light, sort of luminescence, glow in the dark sort of things that have the UV spectrum that the bees can also see. So in order to differentiate my hives a little bit more to try to improve my crowded mating scenario with queen recovery, I have gone and bought some UV paints. These are acrylic paints, and they all have UV reflective spectrums in it. So it's gonna come across as glow in the dark or UV, but if you're gonna buy this and try this yourself, look for the word UV or black light activated. Essentially, it's gonna show colors and have a little bit of a reflector kind of an image. Now, what the bees see with this, I'm not exactly sure, but I know it will be different than just the regular spectrum of colors I have over here. So what I'm going to do, and I'm going to show you how I do my hive. So here's an example of a three-frame nuke I've got, and I don't have any kind of identifying markers on it. It's just kind of this plain blue. And if I set, you know, six of these next to each other, one looks just like the other. So how is a queen to know exactly which one is right? Maybe they have a way of knowing, but the odds are not in her favor. And I create these stencils. You can download images like this on the internet. And I have this tool called a Cricut. It's kind of a crafty tool. A lot of people into arts and crafts use them to cut out stickers or vinyl or labels or things like that. Well, it can also cut out paper and or laminate materials. And I use it to cut out shapes that I use as stencils. So here is one I've used before, and you can see I've got some painter's tape on it. And this is just some 3M adhesive. And I just kind of spray this on there a little bit. And this is just to kind of lightly tack my stencil design on here so that it has a little bit of stickiness to it. Now, it's not doing very well because it's kind of got to go up and over this. And I probably didn't use enough anyway. But I'm going to kind of show you how this works, where the stencil comes on here, and now I can either spray paint or paint a design. Now, what I'm going to try to do today for the first time is use this stencil to apply a little bit of UV paint to it and give this a little bit of a boost. Now, I could probably also use some regular colors that the human can see. And normally this stencil is designed for spray paint. So this isn't the first, yeah, I'm trying live. This is like doing a live demo on the internet and perhaps could have an extreme fail. I don't know how much it takes, and I have no proof that this is gonna work, but I just want to do whatever I can to give my queens a little extra navigation aid to get back home. And you might say, well, if you know, these yellows and oranges are probably enough. Well, I wanna try something else because I'm not getting as high of mating return as I think I should be. With my hatch rate. Now listen, if you listen to my videos, you also might hear, I've got a super colony that I'm raising back here of purple martins. And I tell you what, I know purple martins are pretty dang good at catching bugs about the size of a honeybee. So that could also be my issue too, is I'm just never gonna get there because of the purple martins. All right, so there's the stencil, and it didn't work as good as I had hoped, but I'm gonna show you what it looks like. Got a couple bubbles on here. Yes, definitely. So I've got a little bit of a flower design. It oozed a little bit, but you know, I could probably even do better by hand than I could with a stencil on this and just put some shapes. You could draw circles, you could draw stars. I don't think I'm gonna do the stencil and hand paint again just because it kind of globbed up a little bit. So it's nothing more than a big circle probably for this. But it's unique because there's nothing else in my apiary that's gonna look like this glob of green UV reflective paint. So that is something else I'm going to try. And in this little pack of eight that I think I spent 10 or 12 bucks on Amazon, I've got an array of colors that I can add different. I could use a couple other colors on here too. And I may do that before I put this in the apiary. But also on my styrofoam minis, I'm probably going to walk around with a brush and I'm going to just mark up the mini mating nukes with a little bit of UV reflective. Because as a bee comes back, and you know, while it may be glow in the dark or kind of UV for us kind of at night, the bees see the spectrum all day long. So when they come back, it may really look like a reflector to them as compared to the regular spectrum, or at least it will be way off to the end of the spectrum as opposed to the regular colors. So it definitely will look different to them. And maybe I won't do it on every single one. Maybe if I've got 18 nukes next to each other, maybe I'll do every third one will have some UV paint on it and it'll give a reference point across a spectrum of colors. Anyway, let me know what you think about this idea. something I thought about, the spectrum of light the bees see to give them a little bit more assistance to find their way home. Wow, that was quite the chat, wasn't it? I think that's everything I had out here to talk to you about, kind of on the Bee Lab lesson discussion, to talk about the things I'm working on. So let's go ahead and cut it here. Let's jump into the apiary, and we'll move some queens from the mini mating nukes into the three framers. Stick with me. All right, everybody, here we are at our finisher. This is my red queen colony I was telling you about back at the Bee Lab. Got a queen excluder, she's down here, and I got the finisher up top. And I just lit my smoker. And remember I was telling you about this? I thought of another reason this works really good for me. We've had a lot of rain the last couple days. And if you've got your smoker plugged up and you let the fuel kind of smoke itself out. Now, you know, kind of burn itself out and leave that remaining fuel in there. And this cork keeps your smoker dry. If you leave this out in the rain for a few days and you come back and you go to your pine needle bucket, and even if you've got it covered, it's still just a little bit damp or damp underneath the first layer. The remnants of those pine needles or whatever fuel you use that you saved and is a little bit charred, that stuff lights really, really easy. Charred, but not completely burnt, is really good fuel. So I guess it's another argument to keep your smoker closed. Save that fuel because it's exactly what you need to get your first smoker fuel lit. And then you can even pile damp pine needles on top almost if you've got enough fuel in there, because that heat will dry out those pine needles over the next hour or so. I'm not an advocate of wet pine needles. They're kind of a bad fuel, but if that's all you got, remember that bottom fuel is probably maybe the best reason to do this, is to keep your stuff dry. Anyway, so there you go. See it smoked, you know, that little thing's dangling around. If it's annoying and in my way, I just tuck it right back in there and it's out of the way. All right, let's see what we got in here. This is our Forrest Gump box of chocolates finisher today. I have no idea what to expect. Adequate bees, I wouldn't say a ton of bees. I think it's this one over here. Yep. A little bit buzzy. See if I can get away without putting a veil on so you guys can hear me a little bit better. All right, moment of truth. You ready? Not bad. I'm not really impressed. Let's see. Got to brush these off. Sometimes you can lay them down, smoke, and some of these got those really long, dangling, droopy ones that kind of make me think they're dropped cells. Dropped larvae, not cells. Not bad. So everywhere that I'm missing a JZBZ cup was one that didn't get started. So if there's not a JZBZ cup here and here, that means when I moved them to the finisher, they hadn't started those or they broke them down. So this is a failed finish. One, two, three, four. Okay, so only four. Maybe this is five. This doesn't look good. This almost looks like they started and then they broke it down. See if I can. Yeah, there's a little bit of jelly in there. They must have broken that one down. The rest of these look okay. I wouldn't say they're beautiful long cells. See how this one's drooping way down? That one is suspect to me. I'm gonna just crack that one open for you guys. Just, you know, I've shown you this a few times. You can very gently crack the cell open and put it back. And if the larva is attached up top, I can put it back together. No, see, she's down on the bottom. So this is a failed one. And the clue wasn't that beautiful long cell, and there's packed royal jelly in there, so I'm gonna save that. But she's way down here in the bottom of that cell. So she wouldn't, that's not what you want on the larva. So this one over here, I'm suspecting the exact same thing. See how it's gonna droop down a little bit? Probably the same thing. To a beginner, these look like amazingly long cells, but just the way they shape. Yep, same thing. She's down here in the bottom. I'm just gonna show you. See the larva down there? So she's down there. So she won't grow right. She's too far away from all the food that's up there before she, you know, forms the pupa in the cocoon. She's still in larval stage. She needs that food. So, but I've got some good cells in here. You know, some of these are a little short, but when you call short, you also got to remember she's got all the way to the top of that cell. This isn't, I'm not very proud of that one. Depending on where I am, I may let that hatch out and just take a look at the queen. If she's really, really runty, I'll just pinch her as she's hatched. But I've got some cells that need to go into the incubator because these were just capped. These are not ready to be put inside of nukes yet. They've got to go through that sensitive stage where they turn into the pupa. You just saw the larva, so they're still in the larva stage. I can do this in the incubator. The reason I'm going to do this in the incubator is A, because I'm home, and B, I kind of want to let this hive, I'm thinking about requeening it. This is that red one. You see the number of bees up on the second layer. I might squish it down into one and requeen it, but that's not going to be a subject of this video. So I'm going to go ahead and set this to the side. I almost set it on top of some things I need to actually put back together. Some decisions on what to, I'm not even going to add a frame in there because like I said, I think I'm going to just squish this back together. This could be part of a nuke or an expansion or something like that if I squish them all down into one. We are here in the, getting close to the middle of March. I think today's the 12th. The flow is going to be on here in a few weeks. So if a hive is going to swarm before the flow starts, they're kind of in that window where they've got to be prepping right now. So if there's queen cells starting, those queen cells could be capped and kind of right around the flow. So this is kind of that critical end of the threat of swarming season. On my bell graph that I've drawn many, many times for you guys, and if I think about it in the editing phase, I'll put it in right here while I'm talking about it. There's this slow draw up, and then there's 3 weeks. And we are in the second week of those 3 weeks where every single swarm I've caught over the last 15 years, the peak has been graphed in the middle of these 3 weeks. I had two swarms move into traps yesterday from, you know, not my hives, other hives. So they're right in that, in this period here in zone 9B. Okay, so I took the finisher out. So I'm just going to make a little note, 312, remove cells, my mental math for how I do this. Okay, let me take you with me up to the bee lab desk and we'll put these in the cages and I'll show you how I do that. I think I've already shown you that, but hey, stick with me. Okay, so with this number of cells, I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 21, each of my trays that I have here that I've 3D printed and stacked will hold, what is it, 5, 15. So I need two trays set up here. And you can see how I've evolved over time. Here I was doing white plastic. There was one time I had a run of black PETG. Don't use black. You just can't see bees through black very well. It's just the way the human eye perceives color. But this is my favorite. See how they're nice and light and almost clear? It's called transparent. That's, anyway, you guys have heard me talk enough about that. So I'm going to, oh, I have another thing to show you. All right, so this is another thing I've made. And I'm going to just say, go buy it from Easy Peasy Bees. They designed this, but I saw it. I said, ooh, that is a much better racking system than my current rack. And the way this works, it's just two 3D printed pieces that kind of give you an angle for grafting. But I was sitting here thinking, how do I set this rack up? Can you see that? Hey, I don't know the guy at Easy Peasy, but if you ever leave me a comment or email me, find my website, chuck@chuckshoneybees.com. Send me a note. I'd love to collaborate with you. You've got really good ideas. And I'm not going to sell any of these things you're making me. So guys, please don't ask me for this design. But it is so simple and practical. I enjoy the engineering and fabricating, and let me tell you what, this took me 6 prototypes to get right. So I went through a lot of PETG to get it right, but I love a good idea. Anyway, so now it's setting there, and it's, what a perfect angle too. All right, so I'm going to put this, I'm going to go from the top to the bottom, and all I do is I set these in here gently. I don't even push them down because I'm going to end up needing to pull these out, maybe add some workers, depending on when and how I put these in nukes. I don't want, you don't need workers in here while they're in this stage. They just need to be warm and humid at about 93, 94 degrees. I've got a little chicken egg incubator I've shown you guys before where these ladies are gonna go. This tray just is another, you know, it just kind of makes stacking these things and they don't fall over. And even though I'm just lightly, gently setting these in the top of each of these cages, such a good system for the JZBZ. You know, if you're using the Neko system and using those curlers, that's a great system that you can buy complete. It's just got a lot of parts. you know, needing three parts to put an egg into a hive versus just these one parts is just a little bit much for me. I 3D printed a lot of, Nico parts too, trying to get extra bases and things like that, just so I needed to buy the cups, but I ended up migrating away from it over time. If that's still your system of choice, go for it. It is still a better system to end up banking queens. I will give you that. All right, there's 15. And I'm gonna go to my white tray for these last few. If you're not filling up a complete tray, I like to kind of skip them so you can kind of get your fingers in here and pull them out. I'll show you what I mean by skipping. And then I remove the cages that I'm not using. It just kind of jam fit down into this little base I've got. This base has a secondary purpose. You guys, I think I've talked about this before. I know I repeat myself. Sorry about that. I 3D print and or drill little holes in the bottom of these. And when my cages are in here, I can put water in these trays and I can lightly set these on there to where they don't squish all the way down, but a bee with its proboscis can go down and get a little bit of water. That buys me a few days of watering if I'm not home or something like that to do the watering. Just another tip, if these queens hatch and you don't have water for them, they won't last a day. So there's what I mean by staggering. So now my knuckles can get in here and pull these out. In this, fully formed package, I really can't get in here and like pull out that middle one if she hatched first. All right, I'm gonna go put these in the incubator. You've seen me do that. I'm just gonna set them in an incubator that's up to temperature. And then let's go out into the mini mating nukes and get our blue queens to put into our three framers. Stick with me. Did you stick with me? All right, I'm glad you're still here. I'm just gonna make sure you're still in screen over there. So on the top of these mini mating nukes, I've got my little sheet. And see, on the 10th, this had a queen with eggs. That's how I know I'm going straight to this one. So I'm just gonna count real quick. One, let's see, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. I've got nine queens over here, and I'm only gonna grab four right now. So that's great. So I'm just gonna go ahead and start and show you kind of, you can see, right? Let me bring you even closer because this is the good part. All right, going right here. Okay, so I pull out my beetle trap. I inspect for beetles. These little guys can get taken over. The other thing I like to look in a nuke is, are they making good wax? You know, they've got sugar water still in the back. And this is my little technique. I use plastic for an inner cover and I put hot glue right here. I've tried everything. Those little plastic rigid ones, I hate them. You lift the lid off, it comes with it. But look, I can just fill the water here and I can check bees here. Perfect. I've migrated to the simplest solution, Occam's razor. All right, so now, eggs, I see the eggs. This is great. So I can take this and they're gonna be just reaffirming I've got it. That's a full frame of eggs there. Look at that beautiful drawn wax. They've cleaned up that comb from last year. Just fine. Now finding the queens in these little nukes is easy. Now they're not always on the comb though. And if this gets long, you guys can just fast forward. Wow, this is full of eggs too. They are gonna make a queen cell lickety split when I take her out of here. Ooh, see that? Look how they've drawn that pretty wax right on the bottom of that old frame. Wow, there's eggs in there too. All the way. She's got three frames of eggs. This will explode in population. If I don't remove this queen. This queen being removed is actually a little bit of a blessing. That's what happens in these little minis though. You've really got to equalize or give them something else to do other than just rack. If you fill up three frames of cap brood, you got to get that out of there. All right, so she must be in the bottom. I've gone through twice. So now, sometimes I set, this is another trick. This is just technique. I watch thousands of videos of people doing this too. So I set them down inside of this tray. That way if she was on there, she would at least stay on there. Maybe. She's made it, so she's not gonna be as flighty. I'll pull all of them out. Oh, nope, that's a drone. I don't get stumped by drones very often. Looking on the wall. There she is. She's way down there. Can I get her with two fingers? I got her, but she jumped off. Gotta pick them up by her handles. She's coming up. Okay. So, another lesson in holding queens. This was a little tricky because I had to reach down in there. Can you see her trying to fly? She's skinny enough to fly, but she's a very well-mated queen. But I'm gonna mark her first. She's got three, look at her trying to go. Just settle down there, Mom. I don't want any paint on your wings. She's piping a little too. Piping's that little buzzing sound they make. There you go. So she is marked. Hey, some of you might say, Chuck, why do you have a green pen? Yeah, I have a good reason for that green. What do you think it is? Before I tell you, what do you think the reason I have a green pen is? Here's another thing. While I'm doing, I'm gonna answer the green pen question. I'm squeezing her by her legs, not her abdomen and throat. I've got her three left legs. I'm right-handed, so I grab my right hand to mark. I've got her three legs. If you try to hold her by her thorax, if you got the shakes or anything, you could possibly squeeze her. You almost can't pinch her legs too hard. Meaning like I can go do something without worrying about hurting her because I've got her three legs. You definitely want to have at least two of them. If you only got one leg, she can do a 180 and break her leg off. So just some tips on holding queens, and then I'll let go of her and she's down in there. Now, she needs some attendance because she's gonna be going into a hive. Grab them by their handles. See her trying to put her little abdomen up to sting me? But I can very easily just drop her in there without her stinging me. If you grab them by their handles. Now, I use 3 to 4, depending on how easy they are to get. If you use smoke, you know how they stick their heads in there? That's an easy way to grab them by their handles. If their heads are down, they don't even see you coming. All right, mated queen, three workers, left pocket, and this is going back together. That was perfect. Except for you guys had to sit through me looking for and reach down into the box. I don't know. Maybe you guys like watching this stuff. Lots of eggs, so they're gonna be busy. They're gonna be queenless here in an hour or so. And I try not to squish bees in here. Now, what's the most important thing to do now? Gotta mark it. What'd I do? Relook, did it today before I mark everything wrong. Let me get my date. I told you what day it was. It is the 12th. I'm gonna make sure before I do all this. 3/12, remove queen. That's all I put. Stick with me, let's go to the next one. All right, this one says it's got queen with eggs. So I'm just gonna go right here. This is 1, 3 down. This one says dead question mark on it. Those are the kind of notes I've got. All right. Beetle trap, no beetles. Not as much beautiful wax on this one, but there's eggs all the way to the front. That's good. See how they hadn't drawn that out quite as much? This is not as good a wax drawing, but they got food. Yeah, they still got food, so there's plenty of sugar water back there. Lots of eggs. Okay, so they've got three frames of eggs in here. Little mama's not on there. Eggs in the last frame too. And there she is. Another yellow-butted looking Italian mutt. I say mutt because I'm not controlling genetics other than the queen mother. They could be mating with drones from feral, other beekeepers within a few miles. She's hiding down here in between this frame, so I'm trying to use the sunlight to push her over. Right in here, I don't know. I probably can't see you guys specifically, but you see how my hands are moving around. I wouldn't call her a runner, but she's definitely liking to hide. She jumped, oh, there she is. Got one wing that time. See, I got one wing, now I'm grabbing her three left legs, now I got her. That was quick and easy. See how she's trying to fly too? Another almost identical queen, coloration-wise. She had the same mom. These are all the 14th of February queens, the first grafts of the year for me are right on Valentine's Day. Ooh, put my marker back in the wrong spot. Every tool has its place. All right, marked, mated, or marked and mated. She's got lots of evidence of egg laying. 1, 2, 3. That was much quicker, wasn't it? I wasn't talking so much. All right. It's 2. I need to do a little bit more wax drawing. This is a good candidate for equalization. So now they're queenless. Without quite as much wax, I could take one of these smaller frames and I could equalize it. It's got eggs on it. What if this dead one has got no queen, no eggs, but they're good wax jars? I can give them eggs and let them draw out. So this is a lot of options you can do when you take these queens away. You got the things you're fighting against are laying workers. You don't want them to be without brood pheromone so long they go to laying workers. And, you know, a few weeks. Oh, yeah, look. While you guys were off camera, I went out here with my UV paint. Can you see how I use the... It's not dry yet either. I use my UV paint on here. So I decorated this one a little bit. I decorated this one a little bit with green. I don't know why. I use the green colors on the green hives, but... You know, I don't think this looks green ultraviolet. There is no such thing as green ultraviolet. Ultraviolet in and of itself is a color in the spectrum, but I think this is green with ultraviolet in it in the way they make it. So, you know, there is no such thing as green ultraviolet. Does that make sense? Those of you that understand how a prism works and the colors of the rainbow, you know, you go from red to purple across the light spectrum. Ultraviolet is just beyond purple. So you can imagine if our rods and cones and our eyes could see ultraviolet, it would be a color a little bit darker than purple, maybe, in that spectrum, but not green, or not yellow, right? Anyway, hopefully that makes sense. A little bit of science. No beetles. This is good. Okay, see, they've got food up in this forward one. Yeah, food and pollen. So interesting how just the behavior of these bees are doing different things. Beautiful drawn wax on this second one. Eggs all laid up in it. Because I already had... Ooh, there she is. Don't fly, mama. She looked a little flighty. She kind of started flexing. She's right on there. Got her. Now, I got her backwards this time. So you see what I mean? I've got her backwards because her butt's here. So I've got to grab these legs over here. You see how I did that? So now my right hand and the thorax and all of that is in the right order for the mark on this one. She's got a little bit of a hairy thorax. I don't know. You know, humans are sometimes hairy too. Ladies can be hairy. It's okay. Natural. No need to shave it all off. All right, there we go. We got blue. Oh, I put my pen in the wrong spot again. You know, sometimes I get comments from you guys that say I talk too much. What do you guys think about that? Do I talk too much? Would you rather just watch me and me not say anything? I don't think you're going to get it if you ask me. Half of the reason I have this camera running is having somebody to talk to. I'm really not a talkative person, but on camera, I seem to talk a lot. Maybe it's like the awkward silence. 3. One more to go, ladies and gents. You guys caught me, didn't you? Did you catch what I forgot to do? I'm looking over there at that last hive where I took the queen. I didn't mark it. I make mistakes all the time. They'll find their way back. All right, so 3, 12, remove queen. This one. 3, 12, remove queen. One more to go. This one's even marked. You don't have to go very far. Could have left the camera there. This one I wrote blue egg. So yesterday when I found her, I marked her. I got a little bit of pollen in here. They're still nibbling away at it. Pollen patty. Not as strong of a hive. Not as many bees. This might be one I leave alone. Since I had 9 and I was going for 4, can you just see how there's eggs in here? There's just not as many bees. Oh, see, there she is. She's marked. I'm going to leave her be. I want this hive to just have a good... I don't want to shock them into, you know, the queen's gone, weak hive. They may abscond. Since I have choices, I'm going for 4 queens. I'm leaving that one. Let's go to another one. See how I'm making decisions on the fly here? Blue marked with eggs. I've got that. So I marked this queen too. Let's see how they are. Yeah, there's just more bees in here. Still not up to that forward frame like that first one was. Starting to draw wax out here. Only one frame with eggs on. It's going to be in the back here. Yeah, they're not. They need more bees too. I'm going to let her to continue to lay this one up too. These are fine. I just don't want to shock them by removing their queen when they're in this kind of weak state. This could use some balancing too. You know, I could take some better drawn wax from another hive. So that one's staying put too. You can still see me here. This one says queen. She doesn't have a mark. This frame's not even drawn out at all. Okay, lots of pretty wax on here with eggs in it. Okay, and there she is. Yeah, this one's good. Strong. She's running around. Okay, got her backwards again too. Gotta rotate. You don't have to really worry about the wings so much. They seem like they're sensitive, but they're not as sensitive as you might think. You don't want to fold them, but if you just are grabbing them, it's okay. She's got a little bit of a black tip on her, but she is now queen number four for this little evolution today. Marked. Should have one more cage over here for you. We will put her in there and get some of her workers. One, two, three. Wow, I didn't get stung once. Normally I get stung once by one of those little ladies. I guess I was just on today. Okay. Eggs. This one's good. Check their food. Yeah, they got food. It can be topped off, but they still got food. So it's not like they can't draw wax because they don't have food. Last thing to do. 3, 12, remove queen. All right, stick with me. We're gonna go over to the three frame nooks. We're gonna put these ladies in there, and then I think we're gonna wrap up for the day. If you guys are still here with me, you guys still here? Hey, if you're still here and you're not subscribed, click the little subscribe button. And if you wanna know when these new videos, you can hit the notification button too. That's what everybody says on these videos. I don't know if it works or not. I'm just trying to get the subscriber count up just a little bit. Okay, see, do you wanna be behind me or in front of me? I think I'm gonna put you in front of me. Right there. I'm back. So what I've got here are hives. I've marked no queen, no queen, no queen, no queen. Marked, 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 and marked. So these four, interesting how they're all together. I don't understand, those three, maybe, I don't know why. Do they look that similar up front? No, they're different. I'm gonna do some UV paint on these guys too. But I do have that I've added eggs in the middle of this one. And that's back to that point. If I quickly do an inspection and I see eggs, I wanna remember, oh wait, I brought in a frame of eggs onto this hive. So I should expect to see eggs. I can either do a whole inspection or just place these in here. I think I'm just gonna place them in here because I've already done the inspections the last 2 days and there is no queen in these. And if there was, she got eaten by the martins or didn't make it. Oh my God, there's a queen. And she just flew away. There she goes, she comes back. Can you believe it? I had it marked on it. Now that was not the queen that was born in here. I have marked on here Black Beauty, meaning she was really, really dark. That virgin just flew away. Was not the virgin that hatched, but there was a virgin in here. And while I was in there, she flew off. She did a little loop, and I, of course, had a frame. She'll probably come back. And look at them fanning. I don't know if you can see this. This is them saying, come back home, mama. Come back home. Come back home. They got their butts in the air. They're fanning with Nazanoff. Okay. You gotta love real-time videos. Okay, so I am not gonna put... I got a queen in my cage. I got to have something to do with 3, 12. Now I'm saying flighty virgin. I don't know where that queen came from. I was careful when I put my eggs in there. There were no queens on it. When I pulled them out, I take the queen out separately, move eggs. So a different queen into this hive, which is back to that point of, you know, she looked like she was mated. I called her a virgin. She looked like she was mated. So more than likely she'll find her way back in there, and I'll have to come check on later today. Just a plain foundation frame here. This is the frame that had eggs. No, I didn't put eggs in this hive. This says queen, no eggs. So I'm just gonna do a quick check. No eggs. So for a queen to be in this hive that isn't the one that I saw hatch, she could be the queen from like this hive right next door that returned to that hive. But to not have eggs yesterday means it was a very, very late mating. They are fanning up a storm. Let's see what these queens do to a mated queen. Let's see if they baller, are interested, not interested. This fanning is making me wonder if they realize they're queenless or trying to fan back a virgin, you know, just like that other hive had one. Usually they were supposed to be laying on the 7th. Today's the 12th. So I checked on the 11th. That's, you know, 4 days after they're supposed to be the first opportunity of egg laying. That can happen with bad weather. See, I'm starting to notice her. They're interested and not really aggressive. They're just trying to get at her. This is not aggressive. So I think they're queenless. Just by looking at this behavior. Interest, but not anger is the way I would describe it. The way bees kill queens that are not supposed to be there is they ball them. And they ball them in a way that they just kind of suffocate her with heat. I'm just going to double check for eggs. I don't know. This is so fun. You just never know what you're going to get with these little ladies. No eggs. So I think this is queenless. So now I'm going to show you how I put this cage in here. Yeah, see, they're not angry at this queen. If you've never done this before, there's really only a couple things you need to remember. If you've got brood, put it in or near the brood so that the cluster will be around her. The most important thing you can do is put the exit pointing up. And the reason you want to point it up is I want you to imagine a bee or two dying on the inside. If you had it down, this isn't so much a problem with this big one, but especially those little wooden cages you get from queen producers. If you have it down and there's a dead bee, that dead bee can obscure the entrance so she can't be released. But with this, if there is a dead bee, the dead bee with gravity is gonna get pushed down here, or the workers can nudge it down. So up is the way you have your introduction cages introduced. And then squish that together so it's a nice tight cluster in there. And they will take her and release her, hopefully, and we'll come back and check. She's made it, so she should be released as quick as they can go through that candy. And they should be happy to have a mated queen, because they've been queenless. You know, the virgin should have, she was spotted here on the 27th, so they've been without a virgin since a few days after that. So 3, 12, I'm gonna say cage. I do a B with a circle, which means blue queen. We're gonna come back in there before I turn this video off. Maybe not, we'll see. But that does mean I have an extra queen in my pocket. Maybe this will re-queen that red hive I was getting at the beginning of the video. There's probably not anybody left watching this video anyway. No eggs. Some drones in here from when I created the split, the nuke. Very kind of flighty, kind of buzzy is the way I'd call them. Not happy and settled. Just looking for eggs, see if I missed them yesterday. Nope. Nope. Last frame. Nope. Okay. So this one's getting a queen too. Just for demonstration purposes, since I've got one more to go, I'll set that right there and let you guys watch that one while I open the last one up. No harm in doing that. You guys see that? Hopefully. Maybe I'm zooming in on it. I don't know. I do some of this stuff in post-production. This one still has capped brood from the nuke, so they're going to be content right now because they've got something to do. No eggs, though. Kind of a dwindling population. I'm glad they got a little capped brood to hatch here. No eggs. Okay, no eggs. Kind of a weak one here, but they've still got some brood to hatch out. So let's kind of see how they do. Now look at this. They want that queen. Is that anger? No, it's not. It's not anger. Let me just double check in here. If their butts are in trying to sting, that can be anger. See that one? She might be trying to sting through there. Let me see. This is why we put them in cages. I'm going to put her in here either way, but I'm just trying to teach you guys a little bit of the behavior of these bees when you give them a mated queen with a pheromone profile and they are queenless. There's definitely no queen cells in here. They can't be making a queen, so they ought to be all over this queen unless they think they have a virgin. Now that virgin isn't here, or she, I think this is fine. Just to kind of show you up close. They're all over her. They definitely notice her. When you see their abdomens kind of just like trying to stick in through the cage, that's what you're looking for in the balling. Just covering it up, trying to smother her, even though they can't. But if you see proboscis and mouth parts going in, that's good. They're trying to feed and take care and smell her and share that pheromone. They're trying to sting, that's the sign they think they have another queen. Or they're not ready for this one. Laying workers can create the same scenario. If they're like, no, we have what we want, they could act this way. So I'm pushing this down into the comb, just like I did the other one. Didn't quite go in on the bottom. Try not to squish any bees when you do this. It's a little bit darker comb, so it's got a little bit more rigidity to it from all the cocoons inside. Ah, first sting of the day. You got me right in the finger. All right. All right. 3, 12, cage, blue. Now look at this. This is almost indifference. Now granted, there's a lot fewer bees here, but it's almost like they're listless. They almost don't know what's going on. Maybe all these are nurse bees that hatched out and they're just a little clueless. This is almost indifference, which is the opposite of aggressive, right? Indifference is probably fine too. I say probably, I'm caveating everything today. So she's pushed in there. We will snuggle that up. Good bee population there. Are you guys as curious as me if that virgin went back in that hive? You want me to go check? She might fly away again. My better judgment says I should leave it alone. 3, 12, cage, blue. And you know what I'm gonna write on here? Weak. Just to remind me, hey, that was weak. Flighty virgin. Silly. You made it this long. You're not even subscribed anyway, most likely. Sorry, I'm starting to throw darts, aren't I? Okay. We're gonna see if she found her way back. They're acting. See how they're not fanning? I think she's back. See, they're not fanning right now. So if I see her, I'm not gonna mark her. I'm just gonna put her back in here. This is not a recommended action. If there's a virgin that is taking over this hive, I should just leave her be. This is purely curiosity now. Now, theoretically, she could be laying if she laid last night. I checked this hive yesterday. Lots of brood in here from this split that still hadn't hatched out, so this is healthy. Could probably use some equalization over to that weaker one. Don't see her yet. Little cluster of bees there. This hive, even without a queen or with a virgin, is gonna have a lot of bees because of this capped brood that they're able to hatch out. I think it was this first frame she was on, because she flew out just as soon as I saw her. No, I don't see her. She was so flighty, my eyes would go straight to her, because she was just buzzing. There's a lot of bees in here, though. I'm looking. No, that's just a cup. They're acting like she's in here though. They're not fanning, they're calm. She could be in here on the wall. So we'll just let them be. Another queen cell down here on the bottom. Nothing in it. There's no way you could have a queen in it because there's no eggs. Been in here for a few days. Just a cup. Well, she may or may not find her way back here. The interesting hypothesis, if she accidentally ended up in here, she flew away, she could accidentally end up where she was supposed to be. Which is another interesting theory, that if it's one of these other three hives I just requeened, she could go in back in there. So I might need to keep an eye on those cages over the next day or so and look for a virgin that found its way back in there. Yep, she's not in here, or at least she's not on the frame. She could be in here running on the floor or the wall. There's a lot of bees down in there, so we're gonna let them be. See if she finds her way back or if I need to put in a caged queen that I've got in my pocket right now. But since I did see a queen in here, I'm not going to put her in here at the moment. All right, guys, ladies and gentlemen, beekeeper friends, what an interesting day. I swear, I set out to make videos about my smoker attachment and I end up talking about nucleus colonies with flighty virgins. Hopefully you enjoy the content. If you're still here, give me a thumbs up. Let me know you like this content. Please do leave a comment if you saw me do something that you got some advice on. I love getting advice from people with more experience than me or less experience than me that have had success or failures doing something. Anyway, see you next time. Have a great day, everybody.